time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, we're back again. Boy, it seems like Friday. Oh, hey, I tell you, south of here, the temperature will be getting up to around the low 70s. I'm talking now about down in Tennessee. And they got a big high wind warning down there. And I guess it's going to get pretty windy around here, too. And Scott was talking about that tree at the library. You know, every day when we broadcast from a bell tone, I had to pass that tree every day. And every day I would look to see if there was any enlargement of the gap between the base of the tree and the tree lawn. Now, that tree would be owned by the city of Marion. It's on the tree lawn. And I don't know. There would be a good question. If it's on the tree lawn is city, but yet you've got to take care of the tree lawn. You got to keep it mowed and so forth. And does that mean that if the tree is in, you know, perilous condition, that you, the property owner, would have to do something? I don't know. Anyhow, that tree might be there another 100 years. Who knows? But yet it's leaning, tons of wood in it are leaning. Oh, my. But I remember when I worked at the cemetery, there was a tree the same way. And every day I would measure, or when I thought of it, its distance between one of the branches and the ground to see if it was moving daily. Well, I never did find out what happened eventually to it, whether it fell down or what. But, yeah, that tree is an interesting thing on the tree lawn there beside the library. Okay, now, what do I have today? Well, I've got one of those tickets to give away again for the Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 dinner and auction. I mentioned the other day, I thought Jeff Ruth was a member of that. Jeff Ruth is a member of the Marion Lions Club. Okay, now is there only, I remember there used to be a noon Lions Club and an evening Lions Club in Marion. I think it might be down to just one now, is it? I don't know. Okay, let's see. So I've got one of those tickets to give away. That's for the Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction, which will be given away Saturday, February 15th, accompanied by 5 o'clock dinner. And then the auction following that, your chance to bid on various things. But this ticket will get you in the door and get you that dinner, for one thing, and dinner supplied by Country Caterers. Now, yesterday, I asked, who owns Country Caterers? I never did find out. Maybe one of you will inform me. I'm just curious. You know, we have a lot of different catering companies around, and Country Caterers is one of those. And if you notice, a lot of restaurants now are claiming, catering service and so forth. And can you imagine what it's like catering, keeping your food warm or setting up those warming tables and everything? Oh, my. And let alone cooking the food. But there's a couple of ladies that come to a Dayspring Wesleyan Church once a month. They have a program with invited guests. The last guest they had was the junior choir from River Valley. But before that, they had Channel 6's weatherman, who was ill. And the poor guy looked like death warmed over. But anyhow, and so it goes. Let me see. I've got a number of questions today, and a lot of them concern cars. So you stay tuned for that. Now, I think Scott already mentioned the historical thing for today, being Friday the 10th. Representative of the Ohio Legislature, given the task in 1822 of locating the site for the county seat of Marion. Land in the area of Big Island, Clarendon, yes, I remember that, and Marion were among the sites considered, and guess what? They chose Marion. Well, now if they chose Marion, Marion must have been established by then, not Clarendon, obviously, but was established by then. So what was that? 1822 is when they, Clarendon became a crossroads, apparently, and Marion became a thing. Okay. Now, getting to my questions of the day, that I'll take your name once again, like I did yesterday, and register you, and then at come 10:55, I will make a drawing. The drawing will give this ticket to the Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction. Okay, so my first question today is this. There was once a car made that contained the same name as a village in our listening area. It might have been on the fringes of our listening area, but a car named after a little village in our listening area. If you can answer that, I'll put your name down for the drawing. What brand of car was made many years ago? In fact, it was the first car my family ever had. Boy, that was a long time ago. I can remember sitting on my dad's lap, holding on the steering wheel. Okay, but what kind of a car was that? What was the brand name of a car named after a village in this area? Not necessarily in Marion County, but right next door. 740-383-9944. Oh boy, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Car named after a village.
Are you there?
Not necessarily in Marion County, but right next door.
Yeah, I can't. I couldn't hear our caller. Well, isn't that something? Call me again, and we'll see what happens. Name the brand of car produced in this area that is the name. It has the same name as a village in our area. I should clear that up. Yes, it had the same name as a village in our area here. 740-383-9944. Okay. Well, I've got a lot of other car type of questions today. About 9 of them. Hopefully I don't get them all answered here quickly. But I want to know the name of that car named with the same name as a village, a small village in our area. Here we go. All right, caller, go ahead.
Was that Maxwell?
No, it wasn't, but it was that era, Greg.
Okay. I got thinking what car my dad had in the museum now.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if he had one of these or not. He might have, but it started with the letter E.
E.
Yeah,
You think about it. Okay.
I'll call you back if I think about it.
Okay, Greg. All right, great.
Take care.
Yeah, oh, I tell you, I loved Charlie's museum. And that's where I learned something that I... Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead. Charles, are you there? Isn't that something? Charles Faust is calling me. Well, so much for that. Let me see again. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, all right.
Essex.
Essex is correct, yes.
Yeah, I had trouble getting through on the phone. I got through earlier.
Wow.
Yeah, Essex.
Okay, Bob Austin.
Yep.
Okay, I got your name down here. Yes, it was an Essex car, the first car that my family ever owned. Very good.
My dad had one, too, I remember.
Yes, yes. It had wood-spoked wheels.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a
small,
yep.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, Essex. Yeah, I remember that. I've got pictures of our Essex that my dad took about 1938 or 39. I can't remember if Charlie Sens had an Essex in his inventory of cars in the museum. Boy, that was such a selection of beautiful cars. But I'll always remember Charlie's explanation of how the Dodge cars stayed in business. They were loaned money by a Jewish person, and to honor that Jewish person, on the radiator cap would there was a Jewish symbol to honor the people that financed the building of the Dodge cars. Well, that Dodge cars are still built. Yeah, that's one of the companies that's still around. Of course, Dodge is part of Chrysler now. Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, and Jeep. And, okay. So we go on. Next question. There was once a car that you had to build yourself. The small economy model. I had a good friend that built one, and I'm sure there are collectors of these little tiny cars. That my friend was over 6 feet tall, and he managed every day. He was a barber in Bucyrus, and if you're around at the right time, you could see him getting into that little teeny-weeny car. It was like a circus. But he did it. He built it, and he managed to get in and out of it every day. Now, what was that brand of car called? It was a you ordered it and you got the parts and you put them together yourself. Yeah, probably had a motor in it no bigger than a lawnmower. I don't know. Okay, here we go. Let me see here. Yes, caller, go ahead.
That was the King Midget.
Yes, the King Midget. Yeah, boy.
Friend of mine has one.
Oh, no kidding?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know there were any around yet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, he drives it every once in a while.
Well, hey, let me put your name down for the drawing.
All right.
Okay, and that's, I can never remember. Ron?
No, I'm Dick.
Ron is, okay, what's your last name?
Gorenflow.
Again, slower.
Gorenflow.
Winslow?
Gorenflow.
Oh, yes, yes. Gee, I should know that by now, Ron.
No, this is Dick.
Oh, Dick.
Ron's my brother.
Oh, okay. She was. Oh, now you're retired, aren't you?
No, I'm still working 2 days a week.
Okay, you work at Advance Auto Parts?
That, and I drive for the senior center.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, well, your name is in for the drawing.
Charlie, we might pick you up and bring you into work and take you home.
Hey, that's an idea. I'm going.
You're right on the cusp.
Yeah, I'll probably get to that stage one of these days.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, Dick, thanks for your call. I got your register.
All right.
Okay. See ya. Okay, Dick Gorenflow, yeah. I've known Dick for years. It's just I can't hear very well out of my one ear. Okay, so we got the Essex and the King Midget. All right, boy. That's two down. Now we're heading for the third one. There was a car that was built by American Motors. Now, that company used to build Nash automobiles. And then Nash, you know, was dropped, even though Nash was a good car. Nash always advertised the Weather Eye. In other words, it had, I don't know, it was air conditioner or what, but it was very comfortable inside of Nash. And they were a good car. But Nash disappeared, and another brand of car came about, but this time it was made by American Motors. Now, can you figure that one out? What car succeeded the Rambler? Well, let's see. Well, I just told you that the I just told you the answer. The Rambler was American Motors. Yeah, that was question number three. Forget. Okay. Oh no. Yeah, I had a Hudson Rambler. And I bet no one else in this territory ever had a Hudson Rambler. Now, it was a cute little car, just a little bit bigger than the Nash Metropolitan. I think it was a takeoff on the Nash Metropolitan, only a little larger. But I can remember it had a cheapo radio in it, a little plastic radio. Oh, my. And I drove it until the area where the springs were attached to the front end, until it rusted so bad, I thought those springs are going to shoot right through the hood. So what I have after that, a 51...
Charlie, do you remember when Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood came to visit us?
Yes, I do. All three times. What a great time we had.
Yes, riding in the popcorn parade twice with him was great.
He made more speedy deliveries that day than the post office does all year.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Incidentally, that little Hudson Rambler I had was once owned by Harold Carroll. And it had a Continental tire thing on the back of it. And so if you had a flat tire, you had to take off all this metal that surrounded your spare tire, you know, on the outside of your trunk. And trying to get that tire all out of the metal and back into it was something else. Okay, we move on. So much for the Hudson Rambler. Wow. Hudsons were good cars. And I don't know how they related to the Rambler, except the Rambler was an American Motors thing. But now, in 1948, that was the year I graduated from, let me see, what grade was I? The eighth grade, I think. And that was 1948. And there was a Dodge, I can remember a blue Dodge parked across the school from where I went. And I found out that Dodge was something different than previous Dodges. It had something entirely different. Can you tell me what it was? A 1948 Dodge. I think I asked this question in one other time years ago. What was different about a 1948 Dodge? And figure that one out. And there you have another car that belonged to now Chrysler, Fiat. Of course, the Fiat like I have, is no longer being imported. And so I've got to rely on mechanics with skill and with dealers that will always have. In fact, there's a company out in California that sells everything that a Fiat ever had. And so they're, you know, things are always available at a price. Okay, now let me see. What else? Oh, now this is a good one. Let's see, it's now 10:32. We've already got the answers to 1, 2, 3 cars, didn't we? There is another car that was sold on Prospect Street. In fact, it was sold right to where Crown Tower Coffee used to be. Because where Crown Tower Coffee was, there was a car elevator in that building. It still is. You could drive down the alley, and on a signal, they would open the door for you, and you drove in, and the elevator took you to the second floor. For what reason, I don't know. They must have stored their cars there. That building must have really been built. By the way, I passed the old cigar store this morning, too. Now, I've got a picture I took of Comer's Smoke Shop years ago when they were remodeling the cigar store. So I've got a couple of pictures of Comer's Smoke Shop, and I was looking up the history of the downtown Marion, and sure enough, it mentions Comer's Smoke Shop of many, many years ago. Okay. And one of the, well, if you can tell me, too, here's another question. Name the lady, the last lady to walk out of the cigar store. You know, she worked there. And can you name that lady? She's still with us. What was her name? Okay, and going back to the 1948 Dodge, what was different about a 1948 Dodge? Yeah. Boy, you talk about difference in cars. Today, you can't turn around. Your car is answering your questions. Oh, my goodness. And you know, I remember when they used to ban televisions in your dash. Now look what's in your dash. GPS and everything else that you ever wanted to know. Right there, only you have to take your eyes off the road ahead and look over at the middle of your dash. Oh, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
48 Dodge, you talking about the transmission?
Yeah.
Automatic, semi-automatic, I guess, transmission, the fluid drive.
Yes.
Called it gyromatic.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Yeah, boy, that was the start of a new era.
Yeah, we used to have a 49 Dodge.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to be registered?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Thanks.
Very good. Well, hey.
They were all, you know, all the bright metal on those Dodges was all stainless.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Because that's what Motor Products out here made was primarily was trim for Chrysler Corp.
Marion Motor Products.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. And that's the company that became Whirlpool then.
Right.
Well, Now, I knew the manager of Marion Motor Products. His name was John Dean.
John Dean, yeah.
And his boy was the famous lawyer in the Watergate case.
Yep.
So. That was a while ago, and I dated his daughter.
Oh, wow.
We weren't supposed to date, you know, fellow employees.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it didn't last long because her dad
found out, or somebody.
Yeah, her dad told my boss, "Well, I understand one of your engineers is going with my daughter."
Uh-huh.
He said, "What?"
He was.
Yeah, he was.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. That was a that was a long time ago. Oh boy. A lot of waters went under the bridge and over the dam and here and there and everywhere. In fact, we were supposed to get quite a bit of water here over the weekend. And I just hope it doesn't suddenly freeze and become ice on the roads. Oh, my goodness. And I was listening early this morning to WSM in Nashville, Tennessee, and that's the area where they're expecting 71 degrees today and high winds. Oh, my. That's the home of the Grand Ole Opry. It'd be interesting to have one of those people of the Grand Ole Opry here. Of course, it costs a fortune. The only time I was at the Grand Ole Opry, well, let's see, twice. We attended the, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
You were talking about the dealership that had the elevator in it. That was Danner Buick.
Oh,
was
that?
Down on West Center Street.
Okay, well, now there must have been two areas. There was one over on Prospect Street, too.
Well,
and the elevator is still there.
Well, Short Ford had an elevator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the old Short Ford building, but I remember it on Prospect Street.
Yeah, and there was, it was where Crown Tower used to be. And they could drive in on an elevator and raise it right up and park their car upstairs if they wanted.
Well, that was Danner Buick.
Oh, was it over there?
The building's not
because in the front, I got an old picture that said Oakland, which became Pontiac.
The bowling alley was right next door to...
Yeah, Palace Recreation. Yeah. Well, and I thought, wasn't Danner down on West Center?
Down on West Center, yeah. Just corner, next to the corner of Orchard Street. The building still sits there. They still got the elevator in it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They used to.
That was a whole different era, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Short Ford had an elevator, too, in that building on Main
Street. Okay, across from St. Mary's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Very good.
I don't remember one on Prospect Street.
Yeah. I wouldn't know, except that I saw it. The owners showed it to me. Very good. Okay. But and they said that they sold Oakland cars there at one point.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, the building doesn't look like it's big enough.
No, it doesn't.
The bowling alley is just next door to it. I don't know where you'd put all that stuff.
Yeah. How about parking your car in the old cigar store? Have you seen the deconstruction or the construction of that?
Oh, the cigar store, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they're preserving the corner.
Yeah, the corner is still there, yeah. And you notice they punched a hole in the building next door.
Well, that's all gone.
Oh, is it?
That's all out of there, yeah. Yeah, they're clear back to the next building.
Yeah, well, that next building on the south side has a hole punched in it now, or a doorway. And you look at the bricks, and the bricks look ancient. Of course, there were a lot of brick factories around here once.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. Thanks a lot, Dick. All right. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Marion once had brick factories here and there because we had a lot of clay good for making brick. And there are a lot of homes around the county made out of brick. Well, I tell you, there was a brick factory right next to where Channel 39 is now, or across from WMRN. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
I don't know if Danner Buick ever had an elevator, but I do know they had, when I remember it, they had a ramp.
Yeah, a ramp.
From the parking lot, the back there off of Orchard.
Yeah, I remember that ramp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I've been in that building. Well, the shovel rented that building later, you know, for its field machining operations.
Interesting, yeah.
And I've been in it, but I don't remember any kind of a big
elevator. Yeah, I remember that ramp very well. In fact, every time I pass there, I go by there about every day on Orchard Street.
Yeah.
And I look over that way to see if that ramp is still there.
I know what you mean.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Charlie.
Thanks,
yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay, so it goes. Yeah, the Oakland, which became Pontiac. Boy, that was a long time ago. What other cars have switched and became something else? I can't recall offhand. But, cars have been such a big thing in everybody's life. Now, some people buy cars to go from point A to point B and probably could care less about, you know, the fanciness of the chrome or whatever. But people like me, I love cars, and I like driving. In fact, I'm more comfortable driving than anything else. It's a lot of fun. I've driven back and forth from Marion to as far as Washington, D.C. and back, and I've driven to areas of Pennsylvania now 45 years. Wow. Okay, now let's see. Where are we? Oh, and the Nash car had a system in it that regulated the atmosphere or the weather, and it had a name to it. Now, unless you once had a Nash, you might not know. But if you did have a Nash and could tell me what the system was called that kept the inside of a Nash just perfect weather-wise. And it had a name, a very simple name. All right, 740-383-9944. Okay, and Scott was talking about Howard Hughes earlier today, and Howard, of course, made the plywood flying. It flew a little bit. A plane made out entirely out of plywood, except for its engines and the landing gear and so forth, and it flew once. It got about 50 feet above the water, and is sailing right along and landed, and it's never taken off again. And it's on display. I don't know. Have you ever been to the town in California, I think it is, where you'll find a spruce goose? That was what they called it. The spruce goose. Because spruce, meaning wood, was made out of plywood. Can you imagine an airplane made out of plywood?
Scott, did you know that Martha Dowse and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marion native and Miss America Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
Two jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and talking about cars and a little bit of this and that. Now, let me see. I still like to know what they called the Nash system that was just made the car very comfortable, whether it was cold outside, warm outside, or whatever. The Nash had a slogan for their weather system inside the car. I remember it because I rode in a Nash for years. They used to pick me up and take me to high school. Well, one of my buddies had a Nash, and I would ride out to their house and go to school in that Nash, along with a lot of other kids. Okay. Now, here's something that has hit the local history within the past 15 years, probably. There was once a gas plant in Marion. It manufactured gas for the streetlights. And don't you wonder if the pipes that supplied the gas are still underground somewhere? But it did supply gas for the gas lights in Marion. And I don't know if it covered more than just the downtown streetlights, or it was sent out to the neighborhoods. I really don't know. But I want you to tell me, where was it? Where was the location for the gas plant in Marion, and it's been in the news. And news like within the past 10 years or so. 1047. No, it hasn't made gas in years. Huber, the Huber plant had one also that made gas for their construction of road rollers, of steam tractors and the like. Okay, so where was the glass plant or gas plant located in Marion? Now, I don't know how many years it was in existence, but they left behind some residue, and that created all kinds of concern. And so that area had to be totally cleaned out. But where was that? Where was the gas plant in Marion? Okay, and where was... it was on North Prospect Street where they made ice, the ice plant. Speaking of plants, did they have a big compressor of ammonia in that plant on Oak Street where they made ice? I know in Bucyrus, I grew up right a half block away from the ice plant, and you could hear that huge 10-foot flywheel going round and round, chug, 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 compressing ammonia, and then it would also spray this water or whatever up in the air. I never did look into that whole thing, to how it worked, but you could hear it running all over the north end of town, that big flywheel compressing ammonia. That was, one of the processes involved in making ice. So, did they have the Marion on Oak Street, too? Okay, caller, go ahead.
I must be the only one listening this morning.
Yeah, it must be.
Prospect in Columbia.
Okay, Prospect in Columbia, you're correct.
They just recently reclaimed that area.
That's right. They said that...
It'll be a green space now.
I wonder what kind of pollution was there.
I don't know.
They burn coal, I think, and low oxygen to produce that gas. But
there was something there that wasn't right. So,
yeah, apparently so.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay, Columbia and South Main, yeah.
No, Prospect.
Oh, Prospect, yes.
Prospect,
okay.
Columbia, yeah.
Okay.
All right, talk to you later.
Thanks, okay. All right. Yes, indeed, okay. So we got that solved, the gas plant at Columbia and Maine. And then I used to work with a lady at the radio station whose father was the manager of the Coca-Cola plant in Marion. Now, can you tell me where was the Coca-Cola plant in Marion? And were there any other, the very first soda pop was made by the Star Company, and I've got one of their bottles, has a glass stopper. The retired cop that he's passed away now, he gave me one of the bottles. But it was the King Company that made the first soda pop. Ooh. Okay, yes, good morning.
Yeah, that was me. The Coke plant was there on North Main Street.
Yes.
Yeah, my brother-in-law worked there for years.
Oh.
Highland. Yeah, back then. Yeah, Highland all worked there. And talking about old cars, back in the day, my dad had an Oberlin.
Oberlin.
Remember the Oberlin? An Oberlin.
Yeah.
And I don't really remember that Don Helwick.
Yeah.
Him and Don and a couple other guys jumped in that old Oberlin and drove to California.
Really?
And, they drove it out and got there about 2 weeks and came back. And they worked their way out. They had a few fat dollars there and they decided to go to California and they took that old Oberlin and away they went.
Wow.
And I don't have pictures now, but I used to have pictures of it. And it was a nice looking car, at that time.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yep. Okay. I don't know whatever happened to the pictures.
Yeah,
oh, anybody remember those?
Yep, it once then became the Pontiac.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, thanks a lot.
Yep.
Okay, Bob. All right, now, let me see, where was he? Yeah, the Coca-Cola plant was at Main and what was the other cross street right there? And Bob Williams was the manager. Bob's daughter, Marge Williams, worked with all of us at the radio station. Marge was a copywriter. She wrote the commercials that I read. Oh, my goodness. Some days when I would come in, there'd be a stack of commercials she wrote about an inch there too thick. And I, oh, no, boy, it's going to be a busy day reading commercials. That was before we recorded everything. Yeah, we did it live, a lot of things, all these commercials. And I still remember the one from Snow's Racket Store. And, boy, that's been gone a long time, too. And she wrote, "Mary, Mary, how does your garden grow? It grows better with seeds from Snow." I can never get that out of my mind. So, Mary, Mary, how does your garden grow? Better with seeds from B.J. Snow. Yeah. Do you know what the initials B.J. stood for? Was it Benjamin James, B.J. Snow? Okay, moving right along. I'm going so fast down through here that I will run out of questions. I'll have to start making up new ones as we go along. Okay, now this question was the source of controversy at one point. And let me see. Governor Rhodes saw the potential for a new industry in the center of Ohio and built a road to reach it. Yes, that's right. And it sure did prove out well. Now, what industry did Governor Rhodes work with to establish this new road? 7403-39944. Yeah, it was old people who used to, put him down for building a road to a, you know, I guess it wasn't, the factory wasn't built yet. But, oh boy, they got all over him. And now look what it's done. Woo! 10:55 is the time, and so what was the name of the company that he built that road to? 7403-39944, okay. And let me see, what else can I ask you that I had? I think I got an answer for most everything now. Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Would that be Honda?
Yes, it was Honda.
It's Honda Parkway, and it's still a nice road.
Yes, yes. I hear there's over 300 million people drive that every day.
I wouldn't doubt that. There's quite a few of our neighbors that work at Honda, so.
Yeah, so a busy place it is.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
All right.
Okay,
well,
thanks.
Just wanted to answer the question.
Okay, Linda, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Bye. All right, yeah. The road to Honda. And, oh, they, complained. Governor Rhodes is building a road to a place that really hasn't been well-established or even built. And the interesting thing is, now, I've got a copy of various soil surveys. And the one soil survey for the county of Delaware, I think it was Delaware, showed the land where Honda is located as being unsuited for heavy heavy equipment, the cement platforms, the machinery and everything else. It shows that that would never support that. Well, they were wrong. It looks like it's done a pretty good job. Okay, now what else? 10:57 is the time. And what else would you like to talk about today? Now, Scott had a good thing going. He had one call after another, and that's nice. Okay, so I've got Dick Gorenflo and Bob Austin registered for the Ridgedale 18th Annual 2020 Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR Dinner and Auction, Saturday, February 15th. And the location is 2730 Harding Way West, State Route 309, near Big Island. All right. And there's a map on the ticket to show you how to get there, which is pretty easy. Okay. So one person today will win this ticket, and another person will win tickets next week, too. Okay. Now, what else is happening? 10:57, 10:58 is the time. And let me think. Maybe during the news or during our break, I'll have to come up with some new questions. You people are really smart. You can answer my questions quickly. All right. Now, did I have any left over from yesterday? No, I didn't. I got all those in a hurry yesterday, too. Okay. But, yeah. Let's see. Well, the Nash, I'll give you that. It was called the Weather Eye. Nash's Weather Eye. And it was one of the greatest systems at that time for an automobile to give you just the right temperature and weather conditions inside your car. Okay, and the other gas plant was at the Huber Company. The only thing is it blew up. Apparently, they used... here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Elsie is a big promoter of the Lions,
yes.
A member of the Ridgedale Lions Club.
Right.
And I'm sure if anybody would like to buy a ticket, if they don't win one,
oh,
can go out
right.
to Marion Auto and
sure, get one off
get
of Ted.
Get a ticket, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
that's
great. Honda's actually in Union County.
Oh, you're okay, listening to WWPH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place for legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
And I'm just impressed with your professional enthusiasm, and you're doing what I used to do, just, you know, drive people crazy until they finally say yes and do the show. That shows me a lot.
Well,
more your kind in our game.
Well, I have to say, and there are a few more things we're going to get on into here in the next 28 minutes. But, you know, I think this is important live radio stuff to talk about. I barrage Mr. Donahue with requests to come on this show constantly. He's